بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Whilst we were in Masjid al-Aqsa, after the Asr Salah had been over, so there was a group discussion taking place. Initially, I didn't pay any attention to it. And then, when it began to gain momentum, I thought, let me just see what they are discussing. So, the discussion was, why don't we have the control of the Masjid al-Aqsa? And each person was giving his suggestion, his view. Someone suggests, perhaps beyond trying. The other one suggests, it's because of our wrong deeds. And once all this commotion is taking place, an old chacha comes in and he says, you see, this is siyasat, this is politics. And politics mustn't be discussed in the masjid. So the next person gets up and he says, مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِشَأْنِ دِينِهِ فَلَيْسَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ أَوْ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. There is a riwayat like that, whether it is the call of a sahabi or it is a marfu hadith, I don't know, but there is a statement like this, that who doesn't have the fikr of his brothers, etc., Muslims, etc., then he is not of us. مَنْ لَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِشَأْنِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. He doesn't have the concern for the believers, then he isn't a Muslim. So, what we are talking about is politics, but politics is part of deen. He brought it from this angle. So he says, no, I know what is politics. Siyasat comes from, or politics comes from, as-siyasatu, sasa yasusu. And then he says, now the meaning of sasa yasusu is to take care of a horse, when you're taking care and you're grooming the thing and all that. So that's siyasat. So the discussion is carrying on. Anyway, that old man, they put him aside nicely, conveniently put him aside, and they continued with their discussion. So, one person, it would seem like as though he's a little bit more educated, but all, most of them, no beards, no topis, nothing, all heavy discussion. So he came up and he says, give me a chance, let me say something. So he says, you see, the reason why all this is happening is because we don't have the adherence to the Sunnah. So he says, but what's the proof to that? No, it's an open discussion now. He says, we're not adhering to the Sunnah, therefore we don't get the desired results. So this person here that seems to be a little bit more graduate, more educated, he says, have you seen America? So no, I haven't seen America. But do you believe that there is a thing like America? He says, yeah, I believe. How do you believe? What made you believe that there is a thing like America? He says, no, I learned in school and all that. He says, that's not the reason. The reason that you believe in America is because there is ijma on that, because there is consensus on that, that there is a thing like America. So, exactly by the same token, there is consensus that if you follow the Sunnah, then things will come right. But if you're not following the Sunnah, it won't come right. You haven't believed, you haven't seen America, you haven't been to America, you haven't seen America, but yet you still believe that there is a thing like America. So what made you believe? Because there is consensus on that issue. So many people agreed on this, on the existence of America, that to reject this now may be practically impossible. You can't reject it. Therefore you will believe in it. So, there are certain things in life that we don't see. But our iman doesn't revolve on seeing. Our iman is not subject to our seeing. Whether we see it or not, if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about it, then we will believe in it. If the Quran Sharif had spoken about it, then we will believe in them. But we haven't seen it ourselves, our eyes, we haven't seen it, we haven't perceived it. So, does it mean that we only believe after we have perceived it, after we have seen it ourselves? Okay. There are a lot of things that we don't see, but still we believe in it. That is why, when the Quran Sharif commences with the description of the believers, the Quran Sharif says, "Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghayb." They believe in the unseen. That's the opening description of a believer. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, that they believe in the unseen. So our belief is not subject to our seeing. It's our belief is subject to the saying of Rasulullah ﷺ and to the declaration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala declares something, then we accept it. Nabi ﷺ declares something, then we believe in it. So it's dependent and subject on the statements or the declarations of Allah ta'ala and his Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this must be something that is entrenched into our hearts, into our systems. And it must be entrenched to such a level that we behave in that way. We see things in that way, we behave in that way, we conduct ourselves in that way. Everything that we do, we see, we talk about, but we do it, we talk about it, we behave in that way, as though we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though we haven't seen Him. But that must become the frame of our minds, that's how we must see things. And this is why this is counted as the perfection of faith. When Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam had come to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he had put forth three basic questions. One was Iman, the second was Islam, and the third was Ihsan. Ihsan literally will mean to make good, right? This is the meaning of Ihsan. So this Ihsan will make that Iman and Islam look good. If you just have that Iman and you have Islam, but you don't have the aspect of Ihsan, then you won't find that finish, that attraction, the beauty in your faith. That beauty in the faith only comes with Ihsan. Without that Ihsan, there is no beauty. And that beauty counts to such an extent, if you're going for a marriage proposal, and it is a woman, she's got her limbs, she's got her face, she's got her hands, all that, but she doesn't have the beauty. Right. She doesn't have the beauty. One ear is short, one is big. One hand is long, one is short. Nose is flat. One ear is cut. Lip is slipped like this. So, will you accept that woman in marriage? You won't say, no, she's a woman. What's wrong? Why don't you accept her in marriage? What's wrong in her? She's got everything that a woman has. So why don't you accept her in marriage? You say, no, bye. You can discuss this with someone else. Don't waste my time. I don't need this discussion. Won't you say that? So that beauty means so much to you that it is the reason for your acceptance or refusal. That beauty means so much. So Iman gets the polish, it gets the excellence, it gets the beauty with this finish of Ihsan. You see, in a building, there's three levels, right? One is the shell, right? That's one level. After the shell is over, then the second thing that you get in the building is you get the tiling and you get the painting and all that, right? So that's the second thing. So you have the shell and you have the tiling, for example. But you don't have the finishes. You don't have the doors, for example. You don't have the windows, for example. You don't have the lighting. You don't have the plumbing, right? You don't have these things. You don't have the lighting, you don't have the plumbing, you don't have the kitchen accessories, and whatever the kitchen requires, you don't have all these things. So are you prepared to live in that house? You're not prepared to live in that house. You don't want that house. Why? It doesn't have the finishes. So that finishes count so much. And nowadays, you understand it even more when they say that the finishes are more expensive than the actual shell. So you see, if the shell has a price, it has a value, then the finishes also have a great value. It picks up its value. As the finishes, as you see the finishes, then the finishes will pick up the value of the house. Okay? So this is that ihsan. Ihsan brings about the finish on iman and Islam. The more the effort on ihsan, the more the added value of iman, the more the added value to Islam. The Islam gets its value, it gets its price, it gets its beauty and excellence through ihsan. So this is what we need to bring into our systems. And the root of this is that we believe without seeing. We believe, we don't have to see for us to believe. The king's daughter, the princess, has become seriously ill. So the king has a lot of things at his disposal. He has a lot of wealth, a lot of contacts, a lot of authority he has. So he summoned the best doctor, not working. Then from the doctor, then you go to a specialist. So you went to the specialist, not working still. At the third level, then he said, no, let me hospitalize that child, the princess. Now let me go hospitalize her. Hospitalized her and did all the various tests, the sugar, the heart, the pressure, whatever else had to be checked, all that had been checked. Still not working. Then all the efforts that he could try, everything, scanning and everything he tried, but it's not working. And at the fourth level he said, alright, perhaps it must be some jadu. So get some amils. The amils are checking up, not working still. So everything that was humanly possible, he tried. He tried the doctor, he tried the specialist, he tried the hospital, he tried the scanning, he tried the amil that would do some mantra, whatever else. So everything was tried. And everything was a total failure. So at the last step, what he thought of, now at tahajjud time, and it's my one and only daughter, she is my princess, and she is the successor to the throne, and if something happens to her, then what will happen to my life? So with all that worry, that concern, that anxiety, he got up at night, some portion of the morning, tahajjud time, and he went up to the masjid, and he's crying in sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment he cried, and he cried, and he cried, and he raised his head from the sajda, that there was a news, the princess, she just got up. Where she was bedridden, she was strapped to the bed, nothing was working out. She just got up, she's standing now, and she's walking, she's focused, she's talking, everything is normal back. Everything is normal. So, this relationship, this comes right at the end. We do everything else, and what we're supposed to be doing first, we do right at the end. This is supposed to be coming right at the beginning. Crying to Allah Ta'ala, asking Him, begging Him. If there was any flaw, then we are correcting it, we're rectifying the flaw. If the stove isn't working, then what's the necessary thing to do? The right thing to do is to see what's the flaw in the stove. Rather than just shouting and raving and ranting around, the right thing was to do is to see if there's any problem in the stove itself. Many times it happens, people shout and all that, there's a fridge or there is a stove not working, and make a big noise about the whole thing. And when they discover it, he didn't know how to start it off. He didn't know how to wire the thing, or something went wrong in his own discretion. He made a mistake. So he didn't know the basics. Therefore, the thing didn't function like how he wanted it to function. So, Sometimes it is that the very basic thing that we're supposed to be doing, we're not doing that basic thing, and we're going to other things, like the king now, he went to the doctor, he went to the specialist, he went to the hospital, he went to the army, whatever else, everything he tried. But what he was supposed to do at the very beginning was to cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find out what was his problem. See, there may be something that was blocking the acceptance of the dua. Like in the stove, there was something that was blocking the flow of the current. And therefore, that stove wasn't heating. Something was blocking the flow of the current. Exactly the same, there was something that was blocking blocking this cure and this remedy. So, how to discover what was the problem? The simple procedure is to go to Allah Ta'ala. See your own weakness. Where have you stumbled? Where's the mistake? And rather than shouting, this person, and he's causing the problem, and he is the obstacle on the path. You're saying that he is the obstacle, and this one is the obstacle, and he's causing it, and he's a problem. Did you see within yourself, what's your problem? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, in his zamana, he had dispatched one jamaat for jihad purposes. So there wasn't any news of the victory that was forthcoming. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he cried and he says, this is the result of my own weakness and my own sins. Because kufr cannot stand before iman. Kufr cannot withstand iman. When kufr cannot withstand iman, then there is no news that is forthcoming about the victory of the jamaat that I have sent. Then this is the weakness of my own self. Now I need to go and ask Allah Ta'ala that something has caused this blockage. So, O Allah Ta'ala, just remove that blockage so that the victory can come to the believers. And he had to do this, to just cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was something that was blocking. And when he cried to Allah ta'ala, that blockage was removed, the victory came in straight away. Umar radiallahu, in his zamana, he had sent a jamaat somewhere to Iskandariya. And that was a town that was flourishing with trade. Flourishing with trade. We hardly see a town like that. Anyway, the Muslims are fighting for days on end and there is no news forthcoming of their victory, no sign of their victory. They sent a message to Umar radiallahu anhu that nothing is working, we need to have reinforcements, something additional. And Umar radiallahu's answer went back to them, says, we don't fight with numbers and nor do we fight on our advanced machinery and weapons. We don't fight because of that. If it is because of numbers and advanced machinery, then the kafirs, they can't stand before us with all these things here. But we fight with something else. What we fight is with our good deeds. What we fight is with our ikhlas. What we fight is with our sincerity and correction and reformation. So there must be something wrong in the ranks of this army. There must be something wrong. Why is there no news coming about their victory? There must be something wrong in the ranks of this army here. There must be something wrong. So check your intentions. They checked their intentions. There was a flaw in their intention. The intention was, hey, this is a beautiful territory, flourishing with trade. So now we will just run over this. When we run over it, then everything will belong to us. When it belongs to us, then so much we will gain. Each person that is a participant in this whole jihad, how much he will gain. So they examined the niyat. So the Umar radiallahu anhu then told them, let's see, wait for Friday, and on Friday you announce it. You know, because normally Fridays they don't fight, they have an off day. Therefore the madrasas also, they have the Friday as the off day. That's where they picked it up, that they Friday they don't fight. So whatever odds and ends they need to see, bath, clean, look at their wounds, or wash their clothing, etc. They will check all that on Friday. So they've got some additional time, and you know, they are checking within themselves, this is the problem. So they all cried, all corrected their intentions. Come what may, for the sake of Islam, we're going to work, not for our own personal gain and any type of material gain. And then Friday had just ended, Saturday commenced, and now they launched the attack. And within minutes, they just mowed the enemy down. Just mowed them down. Okay. So, this is where many of us go wrong. There is a wrong within us. There is some problem within us. There is some blockage within us. And we don't examine the blockage that's within us. One person is going to buy a horse, see. So, as he passes the streets, the bazaars, to go to the horse market, one acquaintance asks him, "By where are you going to?" "I'm going to buy one horse." Alright, you're going to buy the horse. So say inshallah at least. So he says, "What's the point of saying inshallah? Because I've got money in my pocket and I'm focused, I know what I'm going for. I'm not going in a dream here, I'm not just imagining. I've got money in my wallet, I've got a hand, I've got understanding, I've got brains, I've got eyes, I can see what I can do. So what's the point of saying inshallah?" So the friend again told him, "But just say inshallah." He said, "But tell me what's the need to say inshallah?" Anyway, carried on. Now, towards the evening, the same person is returning. So he says, "Bhai, what happened? You got a horse?" He says, no, inshallah, I went to the horse market. And then inshallah, I saw the right horse. You know, after a long time, I saw the right horse. And alhamdulillah, I had that amount of money in my wallet. But then inshallah, then I looked to my pocket. Then inshallah, then I saw that my pocket was slit. Then inshallah, I saw my money was all gone. Now inshallah, I'm returning. Now wherever he was not supposed to put that inshallah, he's putting that inshallah everywhere, anywhere and everywhere, he's putting that inshallah. So many a times it is a blockage that's within us. But we're looking at the next person, oh, he's the problem. But what's the problem within us? Are we trying to rectify? How much can we do? Are we rectifying? Are we correcting that much? See? What Allah Pak wants? La yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. You try your level best. Within yourself, within your family, within the people that you can exercise some type of influence, you do that much. And then cry to Allah Ta'ala. But are you doing this much? What's within your reach, what's within your capacity, you are trying. Asking Allah Ta'ala, correcting yourself, correcting your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, the people that you have some influence and some type of authority, are you working on them? So the little that you are able to do, are you doing that much? You aren't doing that much, and then you're saying, "Oh, why is this carrying on like this? And why is there the problem here like this? Why is this the problem?" So a mu'min needs to do three efforts. One effort is he must consult. In all our works, أَمْرُهُمْ شُورَ بَيْنَهُمْ. We consult with people that are competent. Competent people who have experience, ikhlas, taqwa, tawazu, ilm, etc. So competent people we will consult with. That's the first level. Allah Pak designed the whole world like that you can't do things of your own. You have to consult. You can't live your own life. You have to have someone. You have to have a partner. Man grows up 18, 20 years of age, now he can't continue with life. He needs some partner for him to be able to be calm and focused in life. And he doesn't have a partner, then he can't be calm and he can't be focused. So Allah has made you such that you have the element of dependence in you. You can't say that you're independent. So similarly, in executing your matters, you need to consult with someone. You can't say, "No, I'm comprehensive, I am very, very complete, I don't need anybody, and I can do my own thing." You have to consult. So that's the first thing that you need to consult. That's the first step in this, this is the first rung in this ladder, you consult. The second level is, then after consulting, whatever procedures be required of you, you fulfill the procedures. Procedures are also important. وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ. Whatever might you can prepare against the enemy, you must prepare that might. Allah Pak didn't only say وَأَمْرُمْ شُورَى, but he says you must make the preparation, necessary preparations. Whatever preparations you were supposed to be taking, might and strength and power against the enemy, then you need to make the preparation as well. And then at the third level is dua, tawakkul and tafweez, assigning the whole affair to Allah Ta'ala. So you consult, you take the necessary precaution, the necessary steps that you're supposed to be taking. And at the third level, after you have completed the first two rungs of this ladder, and the third is then you trust Allah Ta'ala, you ask Him, you assign your affair to Him, and you beg of Him, ask His forgiveness for your shortcomings, ask His assistance for you being successful in the endeavor, in your endeavors. So you do that and assign your affair to Him. Be patient, and be patient, not that you started today and today you want the results to come. You thought of marriage, now you want the girl to come straight away today. No, it doesn't happen. Or you thought of having a child, you're not even married, and you want the child to come straight away. It won't happen. First, you'll have to look for the right girl. Then, whatever procedures you have to do. Then afterwards, after 9-10 months, Allah Ta'ala willing, then you may get a child. But now you want it today, it doesn't happen today. So, this is where we go off, is we don't follow these procedures. Consulting, that is shura, and that is number two, is preparation, whatever preparation and adopting of means would require of us. And number three is the element that deals with Allah Ta'ala, everything that relates to Allah Ta'ala. He'll complete it, He'll make it work. I need to implore Him, I need to trust in Him, I need to be patient. He wants you to be patient as well. Fasbutu and fasbiru, be patient. Don't think now that you have started today and today everything must happen. There will be some time, there is a time and a place for everything. So you be patient with the will and the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In time and in its place it will happen. Okay. So when we are confronted with problems, then do we apply this procedure, this simple sunnat procedure? Do we apply this procedure? Okay. We need to check within ourselves, are we applying this procedure? Okay. Otherwise, then we'll become like that person saying inshallah at any place, in every place where he's supposed to say it and where he's not supposed to say it, he will say that inshallah. So really, it's one of these three things that we're going off in. We're not following one of these three things, therefore we see that what we are doing is a failure. But if we follow this thing here, then not only the akhirat is ours, even this dunya becomes a pleasure, becomes a comfort, it becomes a place of tranquility, calmness and enjoyment that is provided by following this three. So the one is the shura, second is necessary procedures and means to adopt, and third, everything that deals with Allah Ta'ala. That means dua, patience, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having firm hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will happen. And if it doesn't happen as you had expected or you had planned, then don't become too excited that why it's not happening. Just wait, be patient. Wait in the queue, you will be served as well. You join the queue, everybody is being served, inshallah, you will get a turn as well. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.